This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Let's move over to another conversation, more about the defense of Lindsey Clancy. The prosecution spent its first week building the intent case against Lindsey, but some of the most damaging testimony for the state came out of their own witnesses on cross-examination. Patrick Clancy testified under oath that not one of Lindsey's providers told him it was unsafe to leave her alone with the children. She had been to the ER for SIDation. Some providers knew about intrusive thoughts involving the kids, and nobody seemed to weigh just how serious her condition was. At the end of the day here, who put those children in danger? Because it doesn't seem like it's Lindsey Clancy. She's talking to doctors. She's expressing herself. The only thing she didn't say was the voices, but she did talk about intrusive thoughts. She did talk about having these feelings, and nobody once said to Kevin, hey, you know, don't leave her side right now. Like, just don't. I mean, honestly, the real answer, if it didn't have to do with insurance providers and getting approved to be in a hospital for X amount of time, she probably should have been institutionalized somewhere. But because we have the jackass insurance situation that we do in our country, I'm sure she couldn't be. Other than that, it feels like the providers, I don't know. Do they not take this seriously enough? Is this just something where, well, in most cases, it turns out okay, so we don't want to alarm anybody. I don't know why there was no intervention here, or at least something said to Kevin of, hey, don't let her be alone with the kids right now, just in case.
Yeah, I mean, here's what's going to come out during the defense's case in chief. And remember, you know, like any other trial that you've ever watched, the state goes first. And
yep.
Then... you know, as defense attorneys, we're always begging the jury, please wait. Don't reach a conclusion until you've heard all the evidence. Please wait, which is, it's a tough ask.
Yeah.
Because we're human beings and we form opinions early on in things. Some people form opinions during openings, and those, that's not even evidence. It's just a statement of the facts as to whatever the state's theory and the defense's theories are. But people still reach conclusions on that front. But what we're going to find out is that she was misdiagnosed early on. So like when they missed the fact that she had postpartum with her second child, but more importantly than that is that she had a manic event and they were unaware of it going into her third child. So when she has Callan and, you know, postpartum doesn't necessarily start immediately. When she starts to have the effects and she's feeling it and, you know, and then they don't look back at what was going on the last time she had it and seeing that she had this manic event, which is indicative of, you know, onset bipolar. And then they diagnose her with just postpartum. They ignore the bipolar aspect of it. And then they prescribe her SSRIs and they put her on benzos. So you have this thing where I like, and none of the providers are speaking to one another. Like,
mm-hmm.
So as she's moving from doctor to doctor, because they're, you know, no one's helping her. Like she's going in and saying, you gave me this and it's making it worse. You have Patrick calling and saying what you did, what you gave her has made her 10,000 times worse than she was prior to, you know, help us. Can somebody help us, please? And what you have is a situation is how are the providers who have misdiagnosed and are not speaking to one another supposed to warn Patrick of just how dangerous she could be? You know what I'm saying? Like that's what's going to happen here. That's what's going to be evident after all their experts testify, is that that's what happened here, that they didn't know to warn him. Because, look, this kind of level of violence against one's own child, if you're the mother, is relatively rare. It certainly happens. But, you know, I don't think that a provider is going to immediately jump to, hey, you know, you can't have her anywhere around your kids. And when she's moving from treater to treater, and again, they're not speaking to one another, there's no continuity in the treatment. They don't know, or the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. And it turned it into just an absolute nightmare result.
Yeah, I think they were facing their own confirmation biases, given her background, given her professional reputation as a labor and delivery nurse, you know, and the fact that she was being so transparent. She must be going to be transparent about everything, except I think their lack of knowledge of truly what a psychotic event could look like and how it manifests or not manifest outwardly is what one of their downfalls was on this. And I wanted to really highlight, because you mentioned his name again, the husband, Patrick. What really, I watched his entire testimony too, extremely compelling. Oh, but you know what was amazing to me? Because again, we all of us on our show are so empathetic. We reverse that context and place ourselves in his shoes. And I was amazed at his depth of field of what his wife was going through, her appointments, her medications, the effects. I mean, he was all in on his wife and what she was going through as her partner in this. Again, when we're looking for clues to unhealthy relationships, to a mother who, according to the prosecution, was trying to get out of life, trying to get out of this, this is not the type of relationship you see when someone's all in. Someone's so all in that he's standing by her side after the divorce, after she killed his kids. And even after he's remarried, still standing by her side because he understood what was going on so much. So props to him on that. And God bless his new wife as well. That's got to watch her husband now go through and stand by another woman. I mean, there's a lot going on there that really speaks, I think, to the character. And when you can understand the character of one, you get a bigger snapshot of everyone involved. Because I know someone in the chat had mentioned, you know, what's her background? Middle income family. Great parents, described by neighbors as consistently wonderful, very nice people, family, good neighbors, no history of trauma, no history of anything else. She's on high school tumbling teams. I mean, just a hardworking kid from a hardworking family that's standing by her as well. The arc is a very, very solid arc from everyone involved right up to her husband's.
Yeah, and I mean, she's a labor and delivery nurse, you know.
My daughter is too, and I know how they care. So, and you know, it's interesting, you know, being the baby nurse, you know, and I see this with my own daughter, it's about delivering the babies. The number one reason my daughter does it is women's health. It's all about women's health. And so so she's all in on women's health, and the women's health system failed her.
But remember, the prosecution told us it's not about women's health. It's not about the doctors and the medical system that failed miserably. Just put that out of your mind, everybody, that, you know, we bounced her around from here to there. We misdiagnosed her. We gave her the wrong meds. We didn't get her a doctor when she called and needed it. We kicked her out of the hospital. We did all these, but it's not about that. It's not about that. She's doctor shopping. She's doctor shopping. Look out. Woo! Lindsay Clancy, the doctor shopper. It's insane.
Man, how can a female prosecutor in good conscience walk into a court of law and opening statements, and it's the first shit that comes out of her mouth? That's what I'm talking about. It's so disingenuous. You know,
well, you see incongruence of her behavior,
though. We're going to put the system on trial, which we are, and Kevin Reddington's making damn sure that's exactly what's going to happen on this trial. The healthcare system is going to be squarely on trial here. They're going to be in the crosshairs of Kevin Reddington, and he's going to make no bones about it. Again, the state knew that. Mm-hmm. The Commonwealth knows that going in, yet they're doing it the way that they're doing it, knowing what's coming, and they just don't care. And look, man, it's
I'm sure the prosecutor has a lovely future ahead of her as a lobbyist for the healthcare industry.
And this is just a response to one of our chat people as well. They wanted to know where to send letters of support. I looked it up. So nothing you can send directly to her, but you can actually send it through attorney Kevin J. Reddington. And this was posted. He posted earlier on to get support letters that he filed. And it's 1342 Belmont Street, Suite 203, Brockton, Mass. 02301. So it's her attorney's office. That was listed online. It was where I got it.
The civil case, both Lindsay and Patrick have filed separate civil lawsuits against her healthcare providers. The father of three dead children looked at the same evidence the jury is seeing and decided the doctors are responsible. Some are saying they need her to be found not guilty by reason of insanity so they can profit. That, I mean, I don't know. I'm always amused by where people go and like, yeah, they're doing this for profit. Yeah, he's finding a way to make money off of his three dead children and his disabled ex-wife. That's the whole goal here. It's to make a couple bucks. These people's lives were destroyed. What do you say to people who think this is somehow a money grab? I know you respect the listeners. I do too, to a certain extent. what do you say to that when you hear an argument like that? I just want to. I don't want to say what I want to do.
I know, and you know, I feel the same way deep down. You know, but having practiced law for as long as I did and been a trial lawyer, you know, I approach it in a different way. And what I do is I ask people to try to have an open mind, to just listen, to allow yourself the opportunity to listen and maybe learn something that you didn't know, which may in turn change the way that you feel about something. Me screaming something at somebody that they need to feel this kind of way does nothing.
Sure.
If they allow themselves to have an open mind and say, you know what, I'm going to listen and I'm going to see what I can see. And you know what, if they allow themselves that grace and they give themselves that opportunity, you hope that they'll learn something and that will in turn change the way that they think about something. Because I'm here to tell you, if you are of the mindset that mental health and mental illness is a fairy tale, that it's not something that profoundly impacts the way that people live and fundamentally changes who they are as a human being, I'm here to tell you, you're wrong. But don't take my word for it. Look into it yourself. You know what I mean? It's like, that's all you can do, man. You know, you can't pound people over the head by calling them morons. That ain't it. That's not how this thing works. You have to hope that people will take the time and go in it with an open enough mind to listen, you know, because it's one thing, there's a difference between hearing something and listening to something.
True.
You know, and you just hope that people will be willing to do that. And my hope, my deep, deep hope is that this trial, along with the civil trials, that really opens some people's minds, you know, because Tony, it is not an easy thing for 12 people in that box to sit there and essentially in their own mind say, I'm giving her a pass.
No.
After what she did. It's not an easy ask. And I don't want to in any way, shape or form diminish how huge of an ask that is for a human being to do, because it goes against everything that we believe fundamentally in terms of wrong versus right. You know what I mean? It's a hard place to get people to. And I'm hyper conscious of that. You know what I mean? It's like, I realize that, I respect it. And all I can do is ask people to go into it with an open mind and reach the conclusion themselves. That's the only way. Yeah.
And I think there's so many cases where if Lindsay Clancy's behavior had been dramatically different, if she hadn't been asking for help, acting like everything's fine and okay, I mean, we'd be having a very different conversation here. I think that's the disturbing thing of this case is she did everything right. She did everything begging for help, and it failed her over and over. Now, I'm not somewhere where it's like, well, rely on the system to fix everything. No, I mean, you do have to have your own accountability to a certain extent, but when your brain is working against you the way it was with her, and even the people who did have their wits about them still couldn't win with a system that was failing her. I just don't see any way this. I mean, this is a very odd case. It's an extreme case, but a prime example of how the system can fail so remarkably, and an example of, okay, let's take a look at this. What needs to be done so the next Lindsey Clancy doesn't end up here in this situation, and we're not having to have this trial, and these kids don't have to be dead either.
Here's something I don't want to lose on this too.
Yeah,
the system failed her. But individuals involved in this, these are really good people too. And that's why it is a system. It's a systemic problem with the system, not the individuals, because she's going to mental health. I mean, I haven't seen everyone we've seen so far is a very compelling, great human being. I mean, I don't think she went and was seen by evil people. It's like, oh, I'm going to screw this woman and not give her the right meds. I mean, it was really everyone was doing the best they could. They just didn't have a system to do the best they could with.
Yeah.
And that's what failed her because I don't want, if it goes the way of the defense and she winds up, serving a most likely, and I looked at the stats on this, her probability of serving a life behind bars in a psych institute is very high, probably never getting out. And you wouldn't want those people that actually were trying to do the right thing, but a system didn't set up for them to do the right thing, to unduly suffer from this as well, because they are. You imagine having been her providers in hindsight right now? That's a nightmare as well. I mean, everyone touched in this everyone's a victim. This is the most wide sweeping victim thing we've ever seen.
I don't think anybody's sitting there going, oh, I'm so glad this worked the way it did. I mean, it failed. Yeah. It was a failure. How can it be done better so it doesn't happen? That seems 100%. That should 100%. Be the goal. Not where do we lock up the very broken human being now who was failed by this. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube as we continue to follow this case for you every single day. Right here. And I know Bob is doing the same thing over on Defense Diaries. So please do go check it out. And the commentary all throughout the day over there at Defense Diaries.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.